Attention, please. Places for top of show. Places for top of show. Hello, and welcome to Twins Talk Theater. We are Cindy.
And Stacy.
And we're talking about theater, backstage life, and all the excitement that the audience doesn't get to see.
Enjoy the show.
Welcome, everybody. Today, we are interviewing Jackie Pombo Winjet. She is a stage manager that I've worked with for a number of years. We first met probably like 9 years ago at the Long Beach Playhouse. She graduated from Cal State Long Beach with a BA in technical theater. I was at her graduation and worked at the Playhouse and some other places. Currently, she is the administrative technician at Modesto Junior College and an adjunct instructor for teaches stage management classes up there. So Jackie, welcome to the podcast. You obviously know Cindy and I for a long time, so we're excited to have you on. You're our second stage. No, you're the third or fourth stage manager to interview, but it's always exciting to hear how everybody comes to stage management or theater in different ways or the ways they approach things. So what drew you to stage management?
Well, I found theater accidentally.
So did we.
As most of us do.
I originally really wanted to be a costume designer. And when I started at Modesto JC as a student, I thought I was taking a design course. What it sounded like in the catalog. But when I actually took the class, it was a visual merchandising class. So we learned like how to do window displays, and which was fun and it was very informative. But the following semester, I went to a random counselor at the college and said, "Hey, like, is there film stuff here or design?" And they're like, "Well, you know, there's not really film, but there's theater." And I was like, "Okay, what's that?" And they're like, "Well, it's all about acting, and there's some design courses, but you should probably take a basic theater class and learn the history of theater, and then you can take like an acting class." And I said, "No, like acting,
not really what I want to do. Thanks."
Well, very shy. Of course, I probably didn't even say that. I was just like, "No," just like shaking my head. And they're like, "Well, just take Theater 100, which was Introduction to Theater, and, you know, see how that goes." So I was like, "Okay, this person is crazy. Like, I don't like theater. Like, I didn't do theater in high school at all." And so that following semester, I took Theater 100, and it was okay. I wasn't in love with it, but for their like lab hours required or extracurricular activity hours due. And so I went down to the basement where our costume designer at the time worked because I knew how to sew. And she basically took me under her wing. And so I ended up working in the costume shop for a couple semesters, and we really bonded, and she knew I wanted to be a costume designer. So when she ended up teaching it, I took the class. And by the end of the class, Anne said, "Jacqueline, you know, to be a costume designer, you have to really be good to make a living with it." And
you're like, "It's been one class.
This is not your forte," basically. Like, she was very nice about it and sweet. And she's a New Yorker, so she's very blunt, but she was gently letting me down. But this is not a career for me. And so wow. I was, "Okay, so what now?" So I'm 19, 20 at the time. And she's like, "Well, you're really organized. and I think you'd be a really good stage manager. I'm like, what is that? I'm going to introduce you to Mike, who was our lighting instructor at the time. And so Mike Sunquist took me under his wing and trained me to be a stage manager in our dance, the dance area of the theater department. And I was really unsure at the time because it was modern dance. And I had gone to a modern concert my first semester and was totally confused by it.
I didn't. I'm still confused, and I've been to so many dance concerts.
I walked out at intermission because I was so confused. But after like stage managing and kind of getting a rhythm of it, I fell in love with our dancers. I fell in love with the teachers. They were all just so nice and so supportive. And I was there for 4 years just stage managing dance and getting my classes done. And I was working at Blockbuster at the time, full time. So if I wasn't at my real job, I was at school with the dancers, stage managing. And I did a few theater productions while I was there before I transferred to Long Beach. But I really found my niche with dance. So that's kind of how I found stage management.
So did you have any dance experience before? Because I know in stage management, there's a whole language spoken on how to do blocking and all that. And dance, you kind of have to know... Like, did you have dance experience? Did you dance? Did you take classes?
I danced when I was younger. When I was 5, 6, and 7, I danced for 3 years. And then I did gymnastics for 7 years. So rhythmically, it just came naturally to calling the cues and learning the pieces. And then... kind of once I got to know the dancers, like I kind of knew how they just flowed. And I thought like, oh, maybe it's just with off balance dance, which is what the third company's name is. But even when I went to Long Beach, I took a chance and went down to the dance department while I was there and talk to their technical director, Andy Milhan, who has retired since then. But he was the mentor for MJC's dance instructor. She got her master's there. And so it was kind of, you know, everyone knows each other. So it was like, hey, Andy, I studied under Lori Burney at MJC. Can I work on a show? Because I just had missed dance so much. I was getting kind of burnt out doing grad shows, and he said, sure, we have the dancers showcase next spring, and it's, you know, an easier concert to call, so you wouldn't be super overwhelmed, because I was still taking classes, and this was a whole new batch of dancers. They were all just as sweet. And that show I had to be on stage, which I had never done before.
Yeah, for dancing, it's quite different. You can't see the formations and everything.
But it was, yeah. I was super nervous the first night, but I got it. I did it, and it was perfect, and everyone was super happy. So, yeah, I didn't think it was really a thing, just being in love with dance, but I read an article with another stage manager, and she just said she strictly did dance. I think that was her thing. And so then I felt, oh, I'm not alone.
Like, I could actually do this.
Yeah. So it's because actors, they can, you know, they are in themselves and in their character. And dancers can be like that too. But there's a more humanistic side to them and more empathy, and just the support, because they support each other and they know how much work the designers and the team, like what it takes to put on a concert. It's not just them. They need light. they need their costumes. So that's been my experience with stage management.
So I've never worked on a dance show with you. I've always worked at the Long Beach Playhouse with you, and those are all non-dancing shows. So did you jump over because there's not a ton of stage management stuff for dancers, so you take stage management jobs other places, or how did you get involved at the Long Beach Playhouse?
That was with Miss Madison Mooney. She was working, we had just graduated, I think, from Long Beach, and she had done a show, I think, our last semester. And she said that they were looking for a stage manager for their Christmas show. And Christmas shows are hard to crew because it's the holidays and
nobody wants to work at that time
on the holidays. And so I was still at Disney at that time. And so I couldn't go home for Christmas. So I was like, well, why not get a paying gig? And so I went over there and interviewed with Andrew, who is directing the Lutz Radio Hour. And so that was my first show there. And then Andrew and I just kind of bonded and worked really well together. And then he asked me to do his next show, which was, I think, Moon Over Buffalo. And then I met you, Stacy.
Yeah, I saw Lutz, but I don't remember. I met you from Megan Lovegren being like, this cool stage manager just picked me up from high school and drove me over here because it's raining. And I was like, your stage manager just drove you over here just because it was raining? She's like, yeah, she just called and said, hey, it's raining. Do you want me to come pick you up so you don't have to walk? I was like, dude, that's pretty cool. Because Megan at the time was still in high school, and I'd been at the Playhouse a little bit with her.
She and Bree were my ASMs, and they were driving me crazy because I was used to Long Beach standards of assistants. And so when I got these little, like, thug high school.
Yeah, Megan was 14 at the time.
But Megan had her soft side, and so I knew, I mean, she was just down the street, so I was like, I don't, if this was my child, I would not want her walking in the rain.
And that's when we adopted Megan for the next couple of years, and we all basically lived at the Playhouse for the next couple of years.
So yeah, so I did a few shows at the Playhouse and volunteered a lot with you, building stuff in the shop and helping Sean with props. And
well, you also went up and worked with Donna some too, right? The costume designer worked in the
shop. Yeah, so I'm kind of the jack of all trades,
which is perfect for a stage manager. So then how did you get from there back up to your hometown of Modesto, back to where you started school? How did you complete a circle there?
My full circle. So after I met my husband and we got married in June of 2014, I soon realized we would never be able to afford a home in Southern California.
It's very true.
So I said, hey, do you want to move up north? And he said, I don't know. And I was like, well, think about it. You know, he was working at Trader Joe's at the time, and I was working at Actors Equity, and I was kind of getting burnt out there and wanted a change of pace, since LA is so insane and everyone is not always that nice. And the traffic is crazy.
This is, yeah, because you guys were living in Glendale at the time, right?
In North Hollywood.
North Hollywood.
Yeah, I was driving to the heart of Hollywood every day. And yeah, it was realistically 20 minutes away, but it would take an hour to get to work and almost 2 hours to get home. And so he said, well, you know, my friends have all gone away and gone to school and they all came back and I've never really left. I've always just been in Glendale. So sure, let's try it. So
let's move to Modesto.
To my hometown of Turlock in that October. So we'd only been married a few months and it was a huge change of pace. We lived with my parents for a year and saved up money and he got a job at Amazon and I was working for the family business, which is vending. So I was filling vending machines and doing that. And then one of my teachers from the college emailed me and said, hey, a position is opening in the arts division. You need to apply. And I was like, what? And I had applied for a couple of other positions at the college just to get my foot in the door. And those didn't pan out. And so, so I was like, okay, sure. And so Mike, the lighting teacher, he is now the dean of the division.
Oh, wow.
And so I was like, well, Mike's, you know, he's my mentor and he was at our wedding and like this, I'm just going to be interviewing with Mike. Like, sure, this will be super easy. And so I went to the college and I walked in the division office and I was feeling really good. And then one of my coworkers, now coworkers, she's like, hey, so are you nervous? And I was like, no, why? I'm just talking with Mike. Like, what? And then in walked Annie, the costume designer. And it's a panel. It was a panel interview. And my
with everybody
heart dunk. And then a couple of other people went in that I knew. And I was like, oh my God, this is not just a one-on-one with Mike. Like, and immediately, like, I'm sure I lost all the color in my face. I went into the interview and I was so nervous. I talked like a mile a minute. I started crying in the interview because I was so nervous because they were like asking me about just previous work history. And I got super passionate and I was like, people our age, just the work ethic, it's hit and miss. Mm-hmm. And just my experience has been awful. Like, people just don't want to work. And oh, I feel like
I completely agree.
And so I just was just overcome with emotion and just started crying. And I was like, oh my God, why am I crying?
You're like, and totally so, not getting the job now.
I was like, you know what? It's okay. I'm totally fine. I still love everyone. I'm not going to hold any grudges. And so I left that day and I was like, well, that was that. At least I tried. Like, that's all. And so like 2 days later, Mike called me and he's like, hey, do you want a job? And I was like, what? And so that's, yeah. So they're like, it was really hard. Like, you didn't just get it because you're you. And I'm like, I know that was an awful interview. And they're like, Jacqueline, that was the worst interview. So now it's a running joke, but I love my job. I get to make the most of it and shape it to work with my strengths. And so it is almost like production management. So we have 6 departments in our division. We have art, dance, theater, communications, humanities, and music. And so I do work a lot with the theater department. We have 2 full-time professors, and then dance, we have 1 full-time professor and 3 part-time professors. We have 2 technical directors and a costume designer, And then there's me. The stage manager. Stage management is only taught every fall of even years. So it's every 2 years. So our design.
And it's only one class.
Yeah. Only one section of it. And so it hadn't been taught before I taught it in fall of 16. It hadn't been taught in like 3 years.
Because there was no one there to teach it, or because no one was interested?
As Mike used to teach it, the dean, the lighting designer / stage manager. Mike was just too busy being dean. So he didn't have time to teach it. And so he like first asked me, hey, would you be interested in teaching? And I was like, I've never taught. Like, I don't. And he's like, you can do this. Like, you got this. And he's like, you have enough outside experience and you're more current, because he got his master's at UC Irvine in the late 80s. So he's like, I haven't been doing this like as of late like you have. So my class had 20 students, which was the largest they'd ever had.
When I took super awesome. Yeah.
When I took it was like 5 people. And the lowest was like 3, and Mike would just teach it in his office. Like the students would just go in there.
You get lots of personal attention that way.
Yeah. So it was definitely a learning experience on my end as well as the students. There's been this strange shift in the student body, and I think just community college as a whole, with just the work ethic and homework and wanting to learn. So even stage management, it's an elective. It's not a required course. So everyone there, I'm like, you're choosing to be here. You don't have to be here. But it was still very challenging. So
did you find there was more of a willingness for them to want to learn, to like ask questions and be involved because it was an elective?
I had a few students that were like intrigued, like they were sparked by it.
Mm-hmm.
But out of the 20, that was like 3 students that were like genuinely interested. And I've only had like one of them stage managed, and she's done dance, and she just did a show at the Gallo Center for the Arts, which is one of our big community theaters in Modesto. So it's really strange. And so it's a weird pattern that's happening right now. Because I think just so many students have to work and their priorities are different. And so just a position. And so when I was a student, you know, I worked full time and it just lined up with a show's schedule. Like I could work day shifts and then stage manage at night. But now I think just so many students, they are parents, they have kids, or they have to work more. They're single parents. So just finding stage managers has been really hard, and finding like reliable people that want to be there and learn from it so they can go on and graduate and transfer.
So how did you go about teaching? This was your first time teaching the class, and you knew stage management. You did it in school. You did it in the real world. How do you teach stage management? I've never taken a class. I've never taken a class in TD. Most everything I've learned has been on the job, real life experience. So how do you translate that into teaching in an actual classroom?
I had all summer to prep for it, because I was at that time, I was a 9-month contracted employee. So I was off May, June, and July, and then school starts in August. And so I had 3 months to figure this out, and I could not wrap my brain around it. I had my templates that my production manager had given me at Long Beach, as just basic how to make a calendar, how to make a contact sheet, 101 of stage management. And so I started out making these like really fancy PowerPoints, and my first like 2 weeks was just general theater, the history of theater, the types of stages, the different genres of theater, educational, community, professional. And then probably the third week, before I had left for that summer, I was purging our office, and I went through Mike's old files and found his stage management stuff. And so he told me, he's like, just throw that stuff out. It's old. And I was like, no, Mike, there's something in here. And so I had found his layout for his homework assignments.
Oh, that's probably helpful.
Like, how do I like grade a prompt book? Like how, like.
When I taught ASM class, I asked the same thing. I'm like, how do I grade paperwork? Like, are you a good ASM or not? Like, I don't know. What does your paperwork look like?
And I had like really held, I really coddled this class. Like their prompt book was going to be To Kill a Mockingbird. So I had the script already. I made 20 copies of it. I gave them binders with the script, with like a ground plan on the back of it. So they had half of a prompt book done.
Right.
I gave it to them the first week. I was like, okay, you guys, like this is going to be an easy A. I'm here to support you if you need anything. Like, just come, don't be afraid to approach me. Like, even though I might like have a grumpy look on my face, that's just my face sometimes.
Oh, good. Mine too.
I was trying to just be so nice, like the nice fairy godmother that's here to like teach the new generation. And it came back and just bit me because they were just like, oh, she'll just do half the work for me. But so I ended up breaking up the class by just sections of a show. So prep week had a set of templates that they had to do and then submit to me. And so each week was worth points. So there was prep week, rehearsals during the production, and then closing, like wrapping up a show. And so those were their only homework assignments. The final was turning in the whole prompt book. They could redo assignments. Like, I would make notes on their templates. I told them to have fun with it. Like, go crazy if you love color coding. Some people love the office supply shopping list I gave them to get the little flags and the highlighters to go with your post-its. Like,
Office Depot is like Cindy's.
Yeah, it's
yep, my favorite.
So some people really picked up on that. They really enjoyed that part of it, and then they had a written final, and it was just basically all the quizzes put together, and I gave them like a study guide, and so it was really interesting to just see beyond the other side of being a student and what teachers go through nowadays and how the education system has shifted to supporting students that are not supported at home or in other aspects of their life. Some of my students, they were there regularly. So if they were gone like 2 weeks, I would call them and say, are you okay? Like, do you need something? And so it's like making house calls. And I know other instructors that do that. And I'm like, I don't think any of my teachers would have done that when I was a student. Like, if you were gone, you were just gone. So it's really the nurturing aspect that I've didn't know existed, and just learning as you go, being a part-time instructor, and just the system. Every college is different and what's expected of you. So I was like, thank God I work in the office and I know you know, answers to all these questions of when grades are due or how you like submit things or if a student is acting unruly and you need to like report it. It's like, I work in the office, so I know all these things, but just a part-time instructor coming in totally blind. Now I know the info to give them when they start. Right. And so it's that helped me leaps and bounds for both sides of my job.
What I find interesting is when I was in grad school, I taught an ASM class for two semesters. So it was two different classes, but it was all of the sophomores had to take it in tech production. So I had people who wanted to be stage managers, but I also had like lighting designers, props masters, TDs, costume designers. Everybody had to come through this class. It was a mandatory elective class. But along with the class, they had to ASM a show. And so I think for me, at least, that was really good because you taught them the paperwork, but then they also had the practical knowledge. And so I would sit in on their rehearsals or sit in on their tech week, sit in on headsets so I could actually see what was going on. And we had classes 2 days a week. If I remember correctly, it was like Tuesdays and Thursdays. And so Tuesdays we would spend all day discussing paperwork and going over examples and all that stuff. And then Thursday usually was just a session where we would talk about how they're doing in their rehearsals or if anything came up that they had a problem with, you know, and it was a very communicative, like not a bitch session because we hardly ever bitched, but it was less like, hey, we ran into this problem. How do I fix it? But I feel like to me, that's so much of what stage management is. I mean, I know it's a lot of paperwork as well, but I hate when people only teach paperwork because you're like, there's so much more to stage management than just paperwork. So it's so much easier to like have that hands-on experience. So
yeah, because at Long Beach, that's how it was set up. You would have your lecture, but the our production manager, her first semester was my first semester. And so she was very, very strict. And I didn't really have anything to compare her to. And the students that had been there and had worked with the previous production manager were just so, it was like pulling teeth. They refused to do anything she asked of them because they're like, this is way too much work. Like, you're insane. Like, they just thought she was like the second comment, like she was evil. Like, they just treated her awful. And she was very aggressive. But to me, I'm like, it's your teacher. Just do what she wants. Like,
right. So, it's like 10 weeks that you have to deal with it and then you can move on.
And so, but like her training, I mean, Madison and I, no matter what job we did, we were always commended on our prompt book and how organized we were. And it was thanks to Sarah. Like, I was just like, just do it. And I did a job at USC. And when I finished, they're like, can we please keep your prompt book? Like, this is like we want to give it to our teacher for them to like to look at because we've never seen anything like this. And so coming from USC, I was like, sure, like, yeah, here you go. I don't have a prompt book.
So for the people who don't know theater, what is a prompt book? Or don't know stage management, because most people in theater are like, oh, you're either an actor or you're not. And you're like, yeah, there's quite a few not actors who do things. And even people Cindy's worked with a number of times are like, what is a stage manager besides taking notes?
And calling breaks.
So what is a prompt book?
So your prompt book is the show Bible. And so basically, if anything should happen to the stage manager, which I have seen happen, anyone can step in and call the show. They can easily understand the cues, which are lighting, rigging, sound, and the show can still go on. So it's the script. When you're in rehearsals, you'll have your blocking script, which is all the actor movement or dancer movement, what have you. And then you'll also have your contact sheet in there, the production calendar, your like emergency contacts if something should happen to one of your actors or if they're allergic to something. Everything is there. And then once the show goes into tech week, you will put all your lighting cues, sound cues, rigging cues in there. And that's going to be your official show scripts. So some people, they might get rid of their blocking script and put it in a smaller binder, or sometimes it's just a giant binder with thousands of pieces of paper. But you can go there to find anything about anything. So that's your prompt book, and it's your, you should never lose it. Some people say you have to leave it in the theater, and that always terrifies me because I feel like someone's gonna play a practical joke and take the show Bible and hide it or take it. But it's always best if it stays there so everybody knows where it's at.
And if something happened to you, it's still in the theater, so that.
Yeah, I'm a firm believer. Well, obviously, because Twin to stage manager, and the stage manager is God, knows everything, knows what's going on, knows who's doing what, know what all the cues are, know what blocking is, knows everything. And so I'm always just feeding information to the stage manager. And I'm like, you may not need to know this, but just in case, I'm moving this stage 3 inches to the left, just so you know. Just so you know.
Yeah, where quick changes are happening, who's on headset, what's going on backstage, is everyone ready, who's missing. Sometimes you just have an actor walk off stage and you don't know why. And true they story. Go to the bathroom in the middle of a scene.
I have a funny story about when I first came to New York. I was shadowing a couple of people on Broadway, and I shadowed Phantom of the Opera. I think it was Daniel Craig, who like was a stage manager for 30 years. And by the time I went to see the show, he wasn't actually calling the show. One of the other stage managers was, but he was always there. Anyways, the stage manager was telling me a story. They still use the same prompt book from when Phantom first opened, like 30 something years ago.
How faded are those markings?
Well, so when it started to fade, I guess multiple times they've like gone down to Staples and copied it. So now it's like copies upon copies. So it is hard to read a lot of it because you can't, because it's so old and it's like 6 times copied or whatever. So I guess the first PA they sent to make this original copy of it, like after the show had been running a number of years, you know, went down to Staples or Office Depot and ran all these copies and made multiple copies and all this stuff. But I guess he left the original prompt book in the copier and came back to the theater with like all the copies that he had hole punched and put in binders and all this stuff, and completely forgot about the original, which stayed at Staples for like who knows how long until somebody realized that it was still there. And I think they finally went back and got it after a while. But
well, thank God that didn't get thrown away.
Well, being in Midtown Manhattan, you know, they're probably used to stuff like that. So there's probably a drawer that they keep all that stuff in. But
lost and
yeah,
found.
I just when I was watching them call. Yeah, right. Broadway, Lost and Found. Watching them call the show was just hilarious because it was such an old, you know, it wasn't even like computer. It was like typewriter script that was all copied multiple times with a whole bunch of like other stage managers' notes in it from, you know, from when they had to call the show. Yeah.
Wow. So that's Jackie, fun. Have you ever had to step into another stage manager's shoes and call a show at the last minute? Or Cindy, have either of you?
I stepped in while at Long Beach for an opera that they were doing, and I had never done an opera and didn't know anything about music. I had basically finished my show for the semester, and our production manager Sarah called Madison, who was another stage manager, into her office and said, hey, there's an opera opening soonish, and you are my strongest go-to girls. And so, Jacqueline, I want you to prep prep everything. And then Madison, I want you to call the show. And so it was right before spring break. And so it was, oh, what was the opera called? I know it was Double Cast. And the director was a tad intense.
And, nice way to say it.
And they were rehearsing in three different spaces on campus. And so I just remember having to tape out the set three different times.
Like over and over again.
And I was by myself. And Cindy, you know how challenging that is with
a tape. Yes, I've done it a couple times and it kind of sucks.
By yourself, like you can't hold the tape measure both ends at once.
No, it sucks.
It takes skill.
It's a lot of walking back and forth. Like,
and so I basically got the script ready for Madison, and I couldn't stay because I had to go crew a show. I was doing sound for another grad show as another assignment I had to do. And so that's why I couldn't be there every night to at least like ASM. And so I got everything ready and I would still go to rehearsals just to, for like moral support for Madison, because neither of us were musically inclined. And my show finished early. My performance finished early. I think their opening night. So I ran back to campus and showed up backstage. And so it was a team effort. But I did not have the privilege of calling the show. But it was definitely, it had to take two people. Like there was just so much to be done. And the cast was, they were scattered and didn't know who was where. And but they pulled it off. So that was the one time I had to step in at the last minute. And then the USC show, I don't know what had happened, but they called me a week before, or like 2 days before auditions. And asked if I could stage manage, and it was paid really well. And when you are working at Actors Equity and you're not union, you're not supposed to do any theater because it's a conflict of interest and you're taking jobs away, quote unquote, from union stage managers. So I was like, I can't turn this job down. Like, this is a lot of money. And so I went to my boss and said, hey, I just got this call. Can I please stage manage this show? You know, it's we're going to rehearse for this many weeks and then it runs two weekends. And she's like, well, it's educational theater, so they wouldn't necessarily have a union stage manager. So.
Right.
Like, you can do it this one time. And so I was like, oh my gosh, thank you so much. And so I stepped in, but I was there for auditions, and I wasn't like stepping in the middle of the run.
So you said that was a kind of late to get called in right before auditions. When do stage managers normally get hired? I basically work at the Norris and it's my full-time job, so I know what's going on way in advance. When do stage managers start work?
I think it's different for everyone. I mean, sometimes, like at the Playhouse, they would usually, whenever they would pick their season, and then they would pick who's directing, then they would kind of line up like their like gaggle of stage managers and kind of match them up with either directors they had worked with before, or if the director has a preference. So, I mean, sometimes it's 3 months, 5 months, a month. Like, it just, I've been all over the board and I haven't regularly stage managed. It was usually like whatever show Andrew was doing. And then I worked with Sean on Dog Sees God. But
was that your first show with Sean?
Yeah, that was my. Yeah.
Huh. I was a set designer for that one. They all blend together. I can't remember who does what shows after years of doing stuff at the Playhouse.
So yeah, I know Cindy's super. I was looking at your website and I was like, man, she already has stuff lined up in January and February. I was like, she's so nice. She is on top of it.
Kind of like what you said, some companies, well, companies who have their crap together sometimes.
Nice words.
Well, I mean, just like in general, some companies know 4 seasons from now. I think places like San Francisco Opera know about 5 seasons from now what show they're doing, and they have a budget for it, and they have directors picked out and designers picked out and a schedule put together, you know. And in that case, there are people, there are stage managers I know a year or two from now what they're doing and what their schedules are. Smaller companies usually can't think that far ahead, but they can't budget that far ahead. So usually it's 1 season at a time, maybe 1.5 seasons ahead. I know when I was at Tri-Cities, we're about 1.5 seasons ahead. So when I started in August, my goal was by the end of September, before we started rehearsals for that first show, to have my whole season hired. You know, so in that case, sometimes I would be hiring for an October show. Sometimes I would be hiring for the show the following April. So I kind of feel like that's how it is in the opera world, which is how I have jobs lined up through the end of the opera season, which is primarily end of May. Because that's just, you know, you start your season and that's what you do. You just plan for your whole season. And then when you get close to the next season, then you plan for the next season. But I've gotten plenty of jobs where either a stage manager pulls out or something comes up and all of a sudden they're like, well, we need a stage manager that starts in 2 or 3 weeks. So,
yeah. And it's not like Disney where you're just on a show until it ends.
Just there. Right. Right.
Just there every day doing the same show.
So what did you do at Disney? You were there for, how many years were at Disney?
4 years. I was in entertainment costuming, so I got to dress all the characters and worked on some parades and the Aladdin show. And I interviewed to be an ASM, and I'm really thankful I got the interview because it's really hard to even get that. One of my really close coworker friends, he met a production manager, and that production manager had a friend like in the industry that had been trying to get an interview for like 5 years and couldn't get an interview.
Yeah. I know a couple of people who are trying to get into Disney, and it's like who you know and specific timing.
Who you know and the timing. And so going into the interview, I was so nervous because that was my life goal. That is all I wanted to do. I wanted to be a stage manager at Disneyland so bad. And so I was very nervous going in. And
did you cry in that interview?
I didn't.
Okay,
I was terrified, though. And it was a panel interview, and I think there was 6 or 8, like, PSMs and ASMs. And,
wow.
And it was very intense, and they just shredded my resume. Like, they just tore it apart. And it was like 20 questions for each job I had done. And I was like shaking when I left. It was like the most like intense hour of my life. And they're like, oh, we'll call you either way. And I was like, oh, sweet. I was never contacted.
So many people tell me that too. And I'm like, well, great. So 3 weeks later when I call you and they're like, oh yeah, you didn't make it. Just call me and tell me that. So I'm not like sitting on pins and needles for 3 weeks.
Right. But shoot me an email if you don't want that confrontation.
Yeah. But I was really thankful because once I started working on the Aladdin show, I got to know some of the ASMs backstage, and it was really interesting. And so they would offer classes sometimes for cast members, and they had a stage management course like in 2 parts. And so from that, like, I have all these templates and stuff for a variety of Disney shows. And when I was started out there, I was in the college program. And so a part of that, you had to interview someone in the industry that you wanted to go into. So I did get to interview a PSM who like opened Fantasmic.
Oh, wow. And that show's been running for years.
She was super sweet and very down to earth. And so she was one of the teachers that taught it and taught the class when I took it. And I just learned, like, it's very corporate. It's not like the like theater that we're used to. And so I realized, like, I don't think this would make me happy. Because just the standards are so high, and it's probably a lot like what Broadway is like, the, like, you know, cutthroat and, and not as down to earth. And so that's when I kind of realized, you know, I love the Long Beach Playhouse and I love the community, and, you know, we might not have the biggest budget, but, you know, the true and tried patrons that come to every show, and like our ragtag team of designers, like that was our family, and we would bend over backwards for each other, and we just loved each other so much. And I was like, this is what I want. This is family to me, and that's what made me happy. So I was thankful I had the opportunity and that I learned it early on, and not like 10 years trying to pursue getting in at Disney. But I did meet a ton of like great people, and I, you know, there's highs and lows of every job, but, I'm glad I, you know, found it early on that I like an educational theater.
Right. I think that's so important, because I mean, you hear it all the time in New York City. And I admit, I kind of fall in that category, you know, because I moved to New York because I wanted to do the big shows and I wanted to do Broadway. And I was very happy on the one Broadway show I did. And I would love to do that. But sometimes you're just like, well, maybe that dream that I had for 10 years isn't necessarily what is going to make me happy, you know? Mm-hmm. Sometimes I like doing the smaller shows. I like working at level 3 and 4 companies because, like you said, it's kind of more of a community feel. Once you get up to the level 1 and 2 companies, you have like 600 people in the company. You don't know who anybody is. You have like 10 stage managers, 3 assistant directors, you know, and it's not quite the same feeling. And not to say those aren't great, great companies, and some people really thrive in that situation, but I think it's so important, as you said, to realize what it is that makes you happy. And that it's not going to be the same for everybody. And, you know, just to accept that.
Yeah.
And to measure what makes you happy.
I mean, how many Christmases and birthdays and weddings and I was trying to go to a Valentine's Day and Jackie setting up a Valentine's Day in the shop. And my first date with my husband, Jack, I was at the theater at the Playhouse trying to put away props, and Jackie's like, don't you have a date? And I was like, yeah, like in 2 hours. And she was freaking out, and Sean's still my best friend, and we've been to everybody's weddings. Like, it's such a community feel. And when Andrew got hurt or somebody got in trouble, everyone immediately stepped up and took over and helped and very much like keep the show going, but take care of each other. It's a very different feel than the big shows. Well, yeah, big shows. There's plenty of big shows there. I just mean, you know, the huge houses or people who are hired in for one-offs or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And another thing is opportunities and either regretting not doing things. I told my one class, I was like, you know, sometimes in life, you never know what is going to happen. Be nice to everyone, because even though, you know, you think the theater world is so big, it's not. And there's somebody that always knows somebody. So, you know, always mind your P's and Q's. And if there is an opportunity that arises, I had 2. And to this day, I don't know what would have happened if I did either one. The first one, was stage managing at South Coast Rep.
And it's a pretty big house in Southern California. Well known.
Yeah. So I think I was ready to graduate or had just graduated. And so I called my mentor, Sarah, our production manager at Long Beach, and told her I was applying. She wrote me a letter of recommendation. They called me in. I interviewed. They wanted to hire me, but the pay wasn't that great. And I was working at Disney. And, you know, what are the odds of doing both? And they were like, no, we need you like 100%. Some people, they work at Starbucks and they'll just do the, you know, AM shift. And I was like, well, I don't know. Like, and so I, you know, called Sarah. I'm like, what do I do? She's like, you have to do this. Like, this will, you know, jumpstart your career. You know, like, you'll figure it out, but you have to do this. You can't turn this down. I was like, well, I don't, like, I, you know, I was living in Irvine. You know, my parents were renting a condo and I was paying rent to them. And I'm like, I can't be one of those kids that just totally lives off their parents. Like, I'm not a local person. And like some of my peers who, you know, were born and raised in SoCal, like they were going for it. And I'm just like, I can't do this. I can't, like, I have a good job at Disney. I don't want to go work at Starbucks. Like, and so I had to pass on it. And, you know, sure enough, a couple of my peers jumped in. They were loving it. So I'm like, you know what? Everything worked out. I was fine. I found another job. And the other time was going to New York to meet with, she's a really famous stage manager. I think her name was Nita, but she was, a family friend from my aunt, like, knew of her. And so she basically was wrapping up Billy Elliot and was like, come to New York, meet with me, and we'll get you going. Like, I really want to meet you. And at that time, I was applying to grad school at UC Irvine and UC San Diego. And I had just moved to Irvine. My parents had just gotten this condo to help me out. And I do not like flying. And I am terrified to go anywhere by myself. I'm like, so I'm like, I can't, like, And so, you know, my family was super supportive. They're like, you know, go, you know, you never know what's going to happen. And I just chickened out. I was like, nope, not going to happen. I cannot go to New York for the first time ever by myself. I will totally get lost. Like, I don't have the money and I want to go to grad school. That's what I want to do. I have only ever been in school. I've never not been in school. And so I, you know, canceled the meeting and I ended up not getting into UC Irvine, which was across the street from where I was living. And, it's very competitive, that program. And so they take 3 stage managers a year because it's almost a full ride. They pay for most of the tuition. And I was number 4 on the list. And they said, you need more real life experience, like real world, non-educational experience to get in. And I was just crushed. And so that's when I was like, well, I have the Playhouse. And that's when I kind of just threw myself there to kind of mend my wound of just working and not going to school at the same time, which I it was very strange.
It does kind of take a while to get used to.
Yeah. So, like, now, like, I go to school every day and I love it.
You do, but you're kind of on the opposite ends because you're teaching some of the classes, but still, like, school.
I'm going to school every day. I'm still learning. I'm still in that educational environment and I'm helping students and I meet so many different people, like, all walks of life. and you never really know what's going on in someone's life, just face to face. And I go to new student days for our division and, you know, try and help recruit. And the minute I say, you know what, I was a student just like you, I transferred and I came back. Like, it's a home. It really is. The campus is a giant family, and so many people support and love the students and want them to succeed. And so I'm happy every day I go to work / school. I miss being backstage all the time and the rush of opening night and, you know, calling cues every night, but it's okay.
Gotta train somebody else to do this.
Do you get to stage manage at all while you're there, or does that mostly all go to the students?
I'm just now kind of like mentoring, so I'm going to be training, not like people that haven't taken my class. I'll be training them on what's expected of them. Mm-hmm. So our CDs can have some support in that sense. And so that'll be really exciting. Mm-hmm. It'll be just a little bit more work, but we've been having meetings and everything's been going great. And so it's just a new system. And I think the future looks bright with this new system we're going to pilot, basically.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So you've been through the schooling system and then into real world and then back into the schooling system. Do you think you didn't go to grad school, Cindy went to grad school, and I didn't. What do you think about the difference between schooling of theater, real life theater? Is there advantage or disadvantage? Like, do you have to go to school to be in theater? Can you learn this stuff just out on the ropes doing it?
You can definitely learn it just by doing it, because that's what I did. I still have my little prompt books from my MJC years of dance, and they're very pity little thin things. But definitely the perks of it are you have your peers, and those are lifelong mates that you will bond with and connect with. And I think it just builds your networking and I'm more towards education and staying in school so you learn more, because especially when I first transferred to Long Beach, I would still call all my mentors at MJC, like on the verge of tears because I'm the giant crybaby, and be like, I don't know why I'm here. I already know this stuff. You guys have taught me all of this. Like, why did I transfer? And they're like, just give it a semester. You know, these are, even though they're upper division classes, they're still introductory, and you'll get used to it. It's new. It's just a change of pace. And it was. I clicked with Sarah, our production manager. She put me in charge of the grad shows. So it was also different because I was older. I was 26. And, you know, all the undergrads are 18, 19, which I didn't know until like the beginning of my second like year. And because I was wondering why the maturity level was off. Like, why are these people just wanting to party all the time? And why are they not taking their studies very seriously? And so being around the grad students, they were my age or older. And so I fit in with them, and they thought I was a grad student. Like, they didn't know until I was graduating that I was an undergrad. And so I was really happy with them, and that was like my little family. And I didn't look down on my peers. I just couldn't relate to them. But the costume designers, I did click with them because a handful of them were from Northern California, and we just naturally kind of found each other, the NorCalers, because they're all saying hella. And
and us people down here are like, you guys are so stupid, stop saying that. I bet in New York you don't even, not even a saying.
So those were like my friends, were like the costume designers, and that's still like who I hung out with. Because stage managers really don't have like a clique, or I don't think
they don't have time to have that.
Yeah,
they're always so busy.
So my clique was with the costume designers. But yeah, I had fun in college, and I wasn't a partier. I did my studies and I stage managed, and I was up late doing rehearsal reports and performance reports and working 4 a.m. shifts at Disneyland. So I would get like 3 or 4 hours of sleep every day. And yeah, I graduated in 2 years, and that was really awesome. And Stacy was there with Sean.
Yep, we were.
And yeah, so it's like I went from one family to my Long Beach family.
Yep, and we would call and be like, Jackie, did you make it home? Like, it's like 2 a.m. and you got to be up in like 3 hours, and you have an hour drive down to Irvine.
Yeah.
So. Yes, I made it home. Like, okay, good. Go to bed.
Yes. The calling in to make sure you got home okay.
Yep. Got to take care of each other. So, excellent. Yeah. See, Jackie, and you were afraid you weren't going to have anything to talk about. Always happens this way.
Yeah, I can't believe I had no idea that you started out in dance. Like, for some reason, I never knew that.
Doesn't usually come up.
Yeah, I
guess so.
I think I only did 2 like theater shows at my JC before I transferred. So then once I transferred and it was just strictly theater, I was just like, oh, okay, I have to get used to this. And
yeah,
it wasn't like, I don't know, I never really thought about it until my second year when I was like yearning for dance. But I was just like, some of these actors aren't being that nice, and like, I need, like something else. I need a change of pace. And like the opera was definitely a change of pace, but I didn't fully execute it. And so I was like, I'm just going to try it. And it was like perfect. It was like the perfect timing. And it was really cool because they have at Long Beach, they have their own lighting course for dancers. So. Oh. I, you know, asked the TD, I was like, hey, you know, I have some lighting friends up on the hill at the theater department. Can anyone take these classes or the lighting class? And he said, well, it's usually for the dancers, and they pair them up because one will choreograph and then one will light it and then they'll flip-flop.
That is an excellent idea. I've never thought about that, but... Dance lighting is very different, and dancers need to know how they're being lit to how the movement and how it's going to be caught.
Yeah. So Andy was super nice. He's all, you know, just send them my way. You know, he's like, I'll pair up with them, or if there's, you know, an even number, because it's totally different. And so, my lighting friends, I was like, hey, if you want to change a pace, go down the hill to the dance department. It's gorgeous down there. Everyone is really nice to you. you'll learn a different technique, and it is totally different than traditional theatrical lighting. And so, yeah, I don't know if they ever did, like, took me up on the offer, but it was definitely, I was glad I went down there and just took, because I was like, I'm used to dance and theater being together. I don't know why it's segregated here. Like, did something happen?
Yeah, we, at the University of Redlands, we had a dance, but we had some dance classes, but they performed in the theater, but we didn't really have a dance degree. the one or two dancers I knew just got theater degrees. And our music department did opera, but they didn't do musicals. So it was very segregated at the University of Redlands as well. They didn't all blend together.
Yeah. We just got our dance degree last year. It was like official and it's skyrocketed. It's awesome to see so many dancers up here in the valley.
So does Modesto now, or does where you are now, do they, the theater and the dancers still combine like they were when you were there?
They're now separate departments officially now that there is a dance degree. But like we're doing Hairspray next spring is our musical. And so they're all collaborating. So the music department, dance and theater, and we'll see, because we haven't done a musical in like 5 years. And so it's going to be exciting. We have a cast.
So. Yay! That's always a good step. Hey, Twin, you're really good at asking the last question, because we've been going for about an hour, and I know, you know, you're on New York time, so it's a little different. I'm sure Jackie has puppies to pet, just like I do, on California time.
On California time, yeah. No, I've been up since, like, 5 o'clock this morning, so it's a little late.
Wait, your time or my time?
5 o'clock my time.
Oh, yeah.
New York time. Okay, so our last question, and this would be interesting because I think you're the first person we've really interviewed who knows both of us. But
known both of us, but you really know both of us. Like, you know, you were bridesmaids at my wedding and Cindy was a bridesmaid at my wedding. And
right. But I think Jackie knows us more than anybody else we've interviewed has known both of us. So
I've had meals. I've met your family.
Right, exactly.
You've been to weddings. You've been to all kinds of things. Yeah.
So,
what do you have a twin story?
A twin story? Well, I couldn't think of one. And then right before you guys called, I thought of my favorite Stacy story.
Okay.
Which she already kind of mentioned, but it was her first date with Kai. We were in the theater in the shop, and Stacy is much like myself and very low maintenance. And I was just like, hey, what are you doing tonight? Like, thinking maybe we can go to dinner. And she says, oh, I have a date, like very nonchalantly.
I was trying to put away props.
And I was like, what do you mean you have a date? And she's all, with that guy I met online. And I'm like, what? You're meeting him? And she's like, yeah. What's the big deal? What are you wearing? Are you going to go home and shower? Like, what? Like, what? You've been working in the shop all day.
You and smell.
And you're like, no, my clothes are in the car. And I'm like, what?
Jackie was so upset.
And I ran out to her car and I got this pile of clothes and these tall black boots. And I go back in the scene shop and I was like, Stacy, this is what you're wearing for your first date. It's like,
I had like two dresses or skirts that were not, you know, my normal jeans. So I was like, yeah, is it not okay?
And I was like, oh my God, come, like, drop what you're doing, come with me. And so we ran to the main stage dressing room and A Christmas Carol was going on at the time and the actors hadn't gotten there yet. And so I was like, put this on. And so we're going to play fashion show. I have to see what looks better. And so she put
Jackie
her
pulls clothes out of her car for me to wear. Like, why do you have a bunch of clothes in your car?
And so we got her an outfit and I was like, okay, what are we going to do with your hair? And she's like, I'm just going to wear it down. I'm like, okay, yeah, you just wear your hair down. Like, so we brushed her hair and I'm like, wait, what are we going to put on your face? It's just like, what? And I'm like, oh my God, Stacy, So I ran and got my makeup bag.
I didn't have makeup. I probably had like eyeshadow and lip gloss.
Maybe. That might have been pushing it.
You might have been pushing it.
I was doing her makeup and then it starts, the actresses start coming in and they're like, who are these girls? Like, what are they doing in our dressing room? And we're just like, we're getting her ready for a date tonight. And then they automatically were like, oh my gosh. Like, it's a first up time. Girly. They were all excited. And so we all gathered around Stacy and got her all gussied up.
So embarrassing.
Well, I mean, it must have worked because you married him. So
yeah. He thought I looked pretty nice that night. So that worked pretty well.
And then
Kai has a thumbs up over on the couch.
Yeah. Kai still tells me that's the best makeup she's ever had.
Yeah, absolutely. And I was still like, dude, I got more props to put away. I have like 30 minutes before I have to be there.
No, I was like, nope, you're done. Don't do anything. You can just get there early.
Yeah, and it worked out pretty well because I married him and Jackie and Cindy were both at the wedding. As bridesmaids.
You were.
And then a Cindy story.
Ooh, good.
Getting ready. Well, it's nothing like big. It was just getting ready for your bridal shower. And making all the Star Wars themed foods and treats and goodies. And I'm just like, oh my gosh. And then so we're in your childhood home. So I did not realize like the sickness of your guys' like Star Wars.
It's not a sickness.
And I wouldn't say us guys. I would say that was all in Stacy's room.
Well, and the British Empire, like. The whole
well, the okay, British well. Empire was in Cindy's room. I had Star Wars.
So seeing your girls' rooms, like, as if they're still intact when you were teenagers,
yep.
I was like, wow, their parents must really love them because they have not touched these rooms or converted them to be, like, in-home gyms or, like, a guest room.
They have been converted now. Cindy's- that was a couple years ago.
Yeah, now I think they're pretty much converted. So
yeah. The whole British Empire, I was all, holy moly, this girl loves the British monarchy.
No wonder. Cool summer of so coming knowledgeable. Up. Dude, we spent a summer pouring through every book we could find in the library to create a family tree that went back about 20 generations of every royal family member in most of Europe.
And so yet now when we watch The Crown, I just think of Cindy the whole time because I'm like, I don't know how accurate this is. And here I'm like Googling it. But yeah, so I'm like, wow, these girls, they are very loved.
a little bit on the crazy side.
Their own little crazy quirks, but it's amazing. I'm like, oh, only Cindy and Stacy. And there's poor Rusty.
Yeah,
these are his sisters.
Our brother did not go into theater, though he does get drugged to theater occasionally. Currently by his girlfriend, who's like, oh my god, we can go backstage. How did you do that? And he's like, ugh.
That's
do
good.
It all the time. He's super excited about it. But he still comes to see some. So
he's just good.
Well, thank you, Jackie. Those are Kai appreciates them as he's laying on the couch giving me thumbs up during your talking. And you know, had to deal, I think that was it Valentine's Day that I was also at the playhouse and late coming home and Cindy was at my home at that time. And Cindy had to let Kai into the house, and I was late coming home because I was at the playhouse. So
probably. Kai's very patient. And sharing Stacy with Sean and
Cindy.
All the weird people at the playhouse. And she's slowly gotten her priorities in line.
Although
and
I was at breakfast with Sean today.
That's okay. It's not like three times a week or like... Sorry, I can't do this, Kai. I have to go hang out with Sean.
Well, the time we were, what, like 3 months in dating, and I was like, bye, Kai. Me, Jackie, and Sean are going to Vegas for a couple days. That's normal, right?
Balance. It's the new balance of having a relationship and sharing is caring. If ever there was a girl who had a social life, it would be Stacy.
I'm not sure about that. We mostly play D&D these days with Sean.
Well, yeah, nowadays.
Yeah.
9 years ago, it was like...
My social life was the playhouse.
This is all we do.
Exactly. Lunch, dinner, I'd show up. Coffee. We cleaned the shop one night because you weren't in rehearsal and I was bored and... We like tore apart the shop and Sean and Andrew walked in and are like, what are you guys doing? We're like, reorganizing the scrap wood pile. Okay.
We went to Home Depot and bought new tools.
And I labeled them all with a Sharpie.
Wow, you guys have an exciting life.
We do.
What are you doing for Black Friday? Going to buy tools for the playhouse?
Yeah, I've done that a number of Black Fridays.
So, well, thank you, ladies. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, thanks for being on the podcast. We're going to advertise it and be like, listen to Jackie's podcast. She goes to Modesto. Everybody in Modesto needs to listen to Jackie's podcast. And then you'll get random people be like, dude, I heard your podcast. It's a little weird when they do that. But
it's the Central Valley, Modesto. Where's that?
And then when I meet people who know Modesto, I'm like, why do you know of Modesto?
Yeah, I only know because the Amtrak went through it on my way to Stockton back and forth. We would always stop.
We would go through Modesto. Yeah, it had a pretty nice Amtrak station.
Yeah, it did. That was pretty much the only thing I know about Modesto.
I've been there for Jackie.
Yeah, you got me a beautiful boardroom table that we stripped down and stained, and it is gorgeous.
And now it's your dining room table.
It's now our dining room table. This ugly thing that was found in the basement of the Norris.
Yep. Jackie wanted it.
Yeah. Who rents a trailer for their friend and takes a table?
Drives all the way up to Modesto in a couple of hours. I do.
Excellent. Okay. Okay. Yawn.
Yeah. Twin's done.
Yeah. It's bedtime.
Love you guys.
Bye, Jackie.
Bye. Thank you for listening to Twins Talk Theater. If you would like more, please visit our website at twinstalktheater.podbean.com or on Facebook at Twins Talk Theater. You can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and Google Play Music. Also, give us a review on iTunes and tell us what you liked about the show.